Hey, it's not quite the DeLorean, but we're going back in time with a new podcast feed full of all my favorite interviews in the history of the Bill Simmons podcast. We're coming up on 7 years now. I've had an unbelievable collection of athletes, celebrities, showrunners, directors, Matt Damon, Denzel Washington, Adam Sandler, Kevin Garnett, Charlize Theron, Tom Hanks, Bill Burr, Kevin Durant, Peyton Manning, The Undertaker, Eddie Vedder, Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he actually came on. Dave Grohl, Quavo, Barack Obama. I mean, what else can I tell you? I've had Al Pacino with Barry Levinson. I've had people like Steph Curry, Jason Bateman, John C. Reilly, Jonah Hill. I could keep going and going. But wait, there's more. Whether it's your first time or you're planning on revisiting some of your favorites, make sure you head to BillSimmonsInterviews.TheRinger.com for the entire archive. You can sort by genre, year, and more to easily navigate all your favorite people. Follow the Bill Simmons podcast, The Interviews, on Spotify now.
It's The Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
It is the Ringer Gambling Show, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. I am Kevin Clark, boxing edition, Joshua Usyk. I am joined by Raheem Palmer. Raheem, what's going on, buddy?
Man, life is good. I'm so excited for this fight. I actually, you know, rewatched the original Usyk versus Joshua fight last night. So I have a lot of thoughts on what we could see this week, and I'm excited. How you doing?
I'm good. I also rewatched it last night. Gotta tell you, it's been 11 months. Still not impressed by Anthony Joshua. I would say a legacy defining fight this time 11 months ago, because I think that you could chalk up the Andy Ruiz loss to, here's a guy at Madison Square Garden, he got overconfident, he thought that there was a path for him in the heavyweight division that was pretty much sealed. He knew what that looked like. Deontay Wilder was in his future, Tyson Fury was in his future, and things got ahead of him. The heavyweight division was completely remade in the ensuing years, and to have a fight at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with Usyk in front of your home crowd, and to lay that sort of egg, I pretty much changed everything I thought about Anthony Joshua. We will get to that. First impressions, Raheem, of this fight, of this rematch, where do you start?
Okay, I mean, first things first, I mean, we got to set the stage for those who don't know. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest fights that you'll see. I mean, obviously, you know, Usyk, I mean, he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, this is a guy who he's one of the only people in the history of the sport to unify the cruiserweight division in the four title era. I mean, you have to look back at Bernard Hopkins, Jermaine Taylor, and Terrence Crawford as the only guys to unify four major titles in a weight class. When you're looking at the cruiserweight division, I mean, obviously, you know, Evander Holyfield and David Haye, they captured three titles. But, I mean, you don't find many guys who can capture all four belts. And then he moved up to heavyweight. I mean, he obviously, I mean, he's just done such huge things. And then for him to just beat Joshua in the way he did, I mean, look, when you look at some of these punch stats,
blowout.
It's absolutely dominant. I mean, like, look, Joshua was just, he landed 123 punches the entire fight, 19%. That's the lowest of his entire career, according to CompuBox. If you look at his fights, he's landing between 37 and 26% of his punches. I mean, you look at his jabs, like, Joshua's the bigger guy. He has all the advantages in terms of, you know, height and athleticism. I mean, he's 6'6", 82-inch reach. And he landed just 12% of his jabs. So you look at Usyk in that fight, his movement caused a ton of problems. He landed that straight left hand at will. So I don't know what changes in this fight.
So it's a great point. Usyk was so good that he made the size difference completely irrelevant. His feints, his movement, his defense was unbelievable. Joshua was passive. Joshua looked weak, frankly. It was interesting. I was listening to Tim Bradley this morning talk about this and talking about how basically Joshua is weak at his temple, not his chin, which I guess everybody's weak at their temple. I guess you and I walk down the street, if we got slugged in our temple, we might have some problems. But he doesn't have chin problems. He has temple problems. It's interesting to me what the strategy is going to be for Joshua. He's got a new trainer in Robert Garcia. There are some questions about his game plans in the past. And you hear Joshua now talk about how he didn't really have a game plan before. And, you know, some of the conditioning ideas he had, and he's, you know, just trying to get to the 12th round or whatever. I don't know. I mean, if this was football or basketball, we'd be talking about maybe there was a coaching problem here, Raheem. But I don't know. It was such a strange performance. It was such a blowout that I wasn't worried about fishy scorecards, even in London. I don't see how this is any different. I was listening to an interview with Eddie Hearn earlier in this week, who's obviously Joshua's promoter. And he said that he thinks there could be a mentality change, Raheem, where Joshua's had to carry British boxing for what, the past 6 years, 7 years, certainly since Klitschko. And he's had that pressure on him. And now they get to just smash and they get to pretend they're just smashing and grabbing. They're coming in as the B side. They're coming in. They're going to steal this title in Saudi Arabia. And they're going to leave, right? He's never had that mentality. I wonder if he's able to let his hands fly, if he gets more aggressive, if he's got a different game plan. Is there any path towards that kind of upset, Raheem?
You know, it's tough for me because I don't think AJ is the same guy since getting stopped by Ruiz. I think that fight changed him. I mean, when you look at the Andy Ruiz first fight, it's like I think you mentioned it earlier, but to me, that first fight was very similar to Lennox Lewis versus Haseem Rahman.
Yeah.
And you saw the next fight, Lennox Lewis came back and he stopped Rahman and he just was a dog for the rest of his career. I don't know if AJ has been that guy who was just like, you know what? I slipped up once. I'm just going to dog people out. I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to, like, I think the path for him to win this fight is just to lead with the hard jab, have more activity, you know, and really just punch through, you know, Usyk's chest if there's just no opportunity for, you know, Usyk to leave his chin open. And that hasn't happened. So it's just, I mean, look, if Robert Garcia had more time with him, I would feel comfortable. But, you know, Robert Garcia, to me, he's had really good pressure fighters. You look at Madonna.
Yep.
You look at Ortiz. You look at Mikey Garcia. He has pressure fighters in his stable. And I just don't think one fight is enough time for you to change, you know, the habits that you have. So to me, I think, you know, even if, and then AJ has stamina problems. Like AJ can come out and, you know, he can go balls to the wall for the first six rounds and he can get tired. To me, he looked tired in that last fight. And you saw in the 12th round, Usyk landed 29 punches. Like, you can't find any fight in his last seven or eight fights where Joshua has allowed an opponent to land 20 punches in a round. So for him to allow Usyk to land 29 punches in the 12th round, to me, that says it all.
It sure does. I can't really get a read on where Joshua's career is heading. And there's been some talk. First of all, Tyson Fury just retires and unretires every single day. We haven't gotten that stage yet with Anthony Joshua, but there's just questions. He's made a ton of money. Does he want to hang around as a kind of a mid-card heavyweight when he's been a super-duper star selling out stadiums if he loses this fight. I will say this. I looked up the Ring Magazine heavyweight rankings today, and I was wondering if it's changed at all from the last couple of years. No. I mean, it's not like the heavyweight division is going to move on without him. He can still have big fights. He can still probably, if he wanted to fight Wilder, if he wanted to eventually fight Fury, he can get that in the stadium just because people like Anthony Joshua. But it's Usyk, it's Joshua, and it's Wilder are the top three on Ring Magazine. Obviously, Tyson Fury has said he's retired, so we'll put him out there. Joseph freaking Parker is fourth, and Dillian White is fifth. And so it's not like the heavyweight division move on without him. But I'm fascinated to see where this goes. All right, before we get into the bigger questions about the heavyweight division, what are your bets for this week, Raheem?
I think you have to take Usyk money line. I mean, right now you're looking at Usyk minus 200. You're looking at Joshua plus 164. I mean, that denotes that Usyk has a 66.7% chance. And I think that's where you take this. To me, I think this line should probably be upwards of minus 300, minus 400. Now, one thing I will say is that Joshua still has a puncher's chance. I mean, we know he has pop. We know he has the height and the reach advantage. So, I mean, it's tough to expect Joshua to just land 12% of his jabs in this fight. I mean, Usyk was just brilliant defensively in terms of his movement and just being able to just, you know, shoot that right hand out there and then land the straight left hand and the overhand left. I just think Usyk wins this fight. So I think that would probably be my best bet. As far as like the over-under is 9.5 rounds at FanDuel. There's some 10.5s in the market. This one's tough for me just because I think if Josh was going to be more aggressive, I mean, I think he can leave himself open for a stoppage. And I also think, I mean, if he's going to be more aggressive. I mean, if he lands one punch, I mean, he could get Usyk out of there. So it's just, I'm going to stay away from the over-under. I know there's some people leaning under. I just can't play it just because I just, when you look at Usyk, I mean, since he's moved to heavyweight, he hasn't stopped anybody. Now,
I was about to say that. Yep.
Yeah, it's like, so it's tough to depend on him to get the stoppage. I also don't know if that's his mentality to really get him out of there. I mean, to me, I thought the knockout was there for the taking in the first fight. And I just, to me, like you look at round six, it felt like he took round six off and then came back round seven and he was just dominant. So I'm going to stay away from the over-under. I think the best bet to me is Usyk minus 200.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Fascinating. I would bet the over if I had to bet the over. If someone says you have to bet the over-under, I'd bet the over only because what you're saying. Usyk's not going to get an early stoppage. If it is a stoppage, it's going to be a late swarming stoppage. It could happen. I mean, just, you know, kind of pace of the fight wise in the 12th round, last fight, you know, Joshua could have given up because it was such a blowout to the point that we knew what the scorecards were going to look like, all that stuff. So it could be something like that, but I don't think that's going to happen in the 9th round. I think that's coming to the 8th round. I go over. I agree with you on the money line. I would take, if I were in Vegas tomorrow, I would put a little bit of money on Joshua KO. I would put a little bit of money on Joshua KO because when he lets those hands fly, if his back's against the wall, like we're talking about, if they're just trying to say, hey, we're the underdogs here, nothing to lose, let's go act like we're the 100th ranked heavyweight in the world trying to pull the upset here. Let's act like we're Andy Ruiz. Let's act like we're Haseem Rahman. That's when I think you might see a little bit of mentality in the pressure fighter. So that's what I would do. I do think Usyk's going to win this fight, but I wouldn't be surprised, wouldn't be shocked if when Joshua lets his hands go, something doesn't connect.
That Joshua KO is paying plus 250. So, I mean, you do get a pretty good odds on that one. Actually, Usyk KO is paying plus 210. So, I think, the most likely outcome of victory appears to be Usyk by points, plus 175. I'm personally going to leave those props alone, but I can't be mad at anybody taking Joshua by KO. Now, a question I have for you is, apparently Usyk is bulked up a little bit. Joshua has actually, he's dropped some weight. How do you think that impacts this fight?
I don't know. I saw that. I saw that. I wish Usyk hadn't done that because that's such a complicating factor. And you worry about, so first of all, one of the dumbest storylines over the past couple of weeks, I don't know if you've seen it, is like, how is the war in Ukraine impacting Usyk? And then like all of these boxing analysts are like, all of these boxing analysts, well, he's going to be locked in, or well, he's not going to be locked in. It's like, we don't know anything. We don't know anything. And it's also, Eddie Hearn was joking about this on Monday, but it's like everybody comes in and says they had a great camp. So it doesn't matter. You can't read into that stuff. You've seen people at press conferences who look locked in, who barely trained, and you've seen the opposite, right? So we'll, what his training camp looked like, we'll see on Saturday. I'm not too worried about that stuff. The bulked up part of it, I wish he hadn't done it because I just worry about the speed advantage, but he's still going to be fast. I don't think you can lose that. And I think that you saw just different classes of pace, in the last fight. And I don't think anything can change that. I really don't. I just think Joshua looked slow. Usyk looked fast. And I think even with the weight changes, we're going to see that again.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think the variables are more on Joshua's side. We just don't know.
Yes.
You just never know what kind of game plan you're going to get with Joshua.
Does Joshua want to fight anymore? I don't care about the damn war in Ukraine, British boxing writers. I want to know if Anthony Joshua still wants to fight, because in the 12th round last time, it didn't look like he did.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. He did not look like he want to be there. So, I think you're always going to have a segment of writers who are always looking for the narrative. And, when it comes to Usyk, he actually, I think he tried to buy the pay-per-view rights.
They're giving it away. They're giving
it
away.
Yeah, they just gave. The Saudis just gave it away to him. So it's just a nice narrative that Usyk, he's in a war-torn country right now. That he goes out there and goes balls to the wall and looks for the stoppage, but that's not going to have really any impact. There's two guys in there. Joshua, is a former heavyweight champion. He's going to have to earn it. I mean, this is not going to, as much as it looked like an easy fight. Usyk did a lot of great stuff in that first fight, and he had to earn it. So, and it remains to be seen what we're going to see this weekend. But I think he wins this fight. I think you could take the minus 200.
All right, let's game this out. If Usyk wins, the heavyweight division's next couple moves are what?
I think Fury stays retired.
I mean, somebody was saying, one of the British boxing writers was basically saying that at this point, they think Fury just wakes up, decides what he could put on social media that would screw with the most people, and then just does it. So I'm done predicting Tyson Fury right now.
Yeah, he's very difficult to predict. Obviously, Wilder has a fight coming up.
Yep.
I still want to see Wilder versus Joshua.
Me too.
I've been wanting to see that for a while. I'm not the biggest Wilder fan in terms of his ability to box, but when you look at his career, he puts everybody down, including Tyson Fury. And I mean, it took Tyson Fury getting up multiple times for him to, you know, win those fights. So, I mean, outside of the second one. So I would like to see that happen. But I mean, it's boxing. You just never know.
Wilder Joshua went from selling out any stadium in the world to, like, you know, Mandalay Bay level. Like, we're, you know, it's 7,000 people. It reminds me of when I was growing up in Florida, Florida State Notre Dame was like the game of the century, right? Like, I was really young, maybe in the first football game I ever saw. I was like, really, really. And then they played the next year in Orlando. And then a couple of years, like a decade later, they played in, I think, the Champ Sports Bowl, Florida State Notre Dame. And I went and I was just like, man, this is not the matchup I expected. This is the biggest game in the world 12 years ago. And now they're playing in the Champ Sports Bowl. That's what's going to happen if Joshua loses his fight and eventually fights Wilder, is it went from the biggest fight in the world to nothing. I mean, I'm worried, frankly, about just the idea. First of all, by the way, if Joshua wins this, everything gets back on track. He can fight Wilder in any stadium. Tyson Fury will probably come back. Everything changes. Heavyweight boxing, in a weird way, for the narrative stuff, this thing we're talking about, Raheem, would probably prefer Joshua win because of the box office element. If Usyk wins, I just don't think that there's a lot of great fights on the horizon for him. I mean, Joe Joyce, obviously, is 14-0, ranked number 8 with Ring Magazine. There's a couple of up-and-comers. You know, Frank Sanchez is pretty good. But those guys aren't box office to the point where you can throw them on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It would be good for boxing if Joshua wins. You know, it's so interesting. I was thinking about this in terms of the odds. The odds for the first fight were actually Joshua minus 270, Usyk plus 220. So that's how much things have shifted with this first fight. I don't know if you see that quite often, where things, the first fight completely shifts our perception.
I think I'm going to bet. I think I'm onward. I haven't placed a bet on boxing since I randomly bet on George Kamposis to win his last fight. Spoiler alert, he did not win that fight. I think I'm going to do what I described. Usyk, money line. We're in agreement on that. Mm-hmm. Joshua KO and over. Those are my three. Those are my three allocations, and I'm putting the same amount on all three. I really do. I know that's a hedge with the Joshua KO, but I really do feel like we could see a different type of guy, and I don't want to be left out if that happens.
I'm not mad at that. I mean, just for clarification, the over-under is 9.5 rounds. The over is actually juiced to 172. The under is plus 134 at FanDuel. There are some 10.5s out there in the market at minus 145 for the over, plus 125 for the under. So you got to pick your spots on, you know, getting that over. But I think over 9.5, I mean, at FanDuel, I mean, it's juiced heavily, but I like that. I definitely like that.
All right, we'll be back for Canelo Triple G. You fired up about that?
I'm very fired up. I'm actually trying to attend that. I'm also really fired up for the Spence and the Crawford fight. I really hope that happens.
Well, I just need that on the calendar. I need that on the calendar. People tweet about it. They say it's going to happen. Until a network has announced something, until it's on the ESPN boxing schedule that I'm looking at right now, I will not count my chickens before they hatch. So the next big fight is Canelo Triple G. Early preview, have you given any thought to it?
I think this is an easy fight for Canelo. I think when I looked at GGG's last fight, to me, he was just way too hittable. Unless Canelo is fading, which I don't think Canelo's fading. I just think when he fought Better Beam, I mean, he fought a bigger guy. But I mean, GGG, he didn't impress me against Murata at all. I just think Canelo should be able to win this easy. He kind of aged him out. Obviously, GGG is 40 years old right now. So he's not
Mayweathered him.
I mean, he's not quite Larry Holmes status, as I say, but he's older.
their two first fights were amazing. I'm happy to see them in the same ring. I think that Triple G deserves another shot. So I'm not mad about them fighting again. And it's all box office. Devin Haney, George Kamposis fight on October 15th, obviously part of the rematch clause. Wilder returns on October 15th in Brooklyn. I might try to go to that. Actually, no, I'll be out of town. Miami plays Virginia Tech that day. I'll be in Blacksburg, but I wish them well. And then Charlo returns on January 28th. That is the big stuff on the calendar. We will be there for all of it. Raheem, thanks so much. We'll see you soon. Thank you to Stefan Anderson for Destruction Help with additional production supervision by Steve Cerulli. This has been the Ringer Gambling Show on the Ringer Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.